to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Okay, this is what she looks like, okay? I'm so excited to be here with Carla, right?
Yeah.
That's Carla over there, and Sage, and this is a lot of his work. We were going to be able to film it outside, but can you believe it? It rained in Los Angeles. So we want to talk to Sage a little bit about his artwork, the concept behind it, how he uses a palette knife and acrylic paints. It's just absolutely amazing. So, Sage, how long have you been painting?
First of all, hey Brains, it's so good to see you guys again and be back with you and be back with you, April.
I know, I love you. I know.
And you got to go. We're doing it in person this time.
I know. We usually do it via podcast. Now we're doing video and podcast, so this is like so great. But how long have you been painting?
I started painting in the early 90s when I was living in Washington, D.C. A friend of mine who's also a mentor, Walter Neal, took me to the art store, but probably like $100 worth of art supplies. I was always afraid of painting before that, because I mean, I've always been creative, I've always doodled, I've always drawn, but I always thought painting, what scared me about it was that the thought that if I make a mistake, I can't erase it, because it's paint. So in, like, I believe it was like 91, 92, when Walter bought me the supplies, he took me back to where I was staying, and I don't forget it. I was sleeping on someone's couch because I was pretty much homeless. In my 20s. And
yeah, you're 50 now. You had to count back, right?
And I put on MTV and was just listening to the ambient noise, sitting there connecting with this canvas. And in about 30 minutes, I had finished this piece. And I called Walter, my friend. I said, hey, I'm done. You want to come look at it? And he's an artist. So I really respected his opinion. Jetted back over and he was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And that first painting was called Blue Solitude. Now, in the course of that time, I did over 400 paintings, mostly in watercolors and some small acrylics. And I was going through a really dark time in that period as well. And I stopped painting for about 20 years.
Wow.
And picked it back up in 2013. And that was a long story.
And look at you now. I mean, just, can we get a couple hands of this beautiful work? What is the inspiration? You have a lot of power. You have a lot of force in your colors. Your pieces have statements. They really speak to you. They jump off of the canvas. What is your motivation when you grab up that palette knife?
Well, you know, I'm influenced and I'm motivated by so many things, so many people. But I never know walking up to a canvas what's going to come out. I liken painting to prayer and meditation. You know, and revelation and revealing the most authentic parts of me that sometimes I'm not aware of.
Right.
So, you know, when I did something like this, it was, this is a piece called Tribute. And I wanted to pay tribute to two men of color who really inspire, influence, and motivate me as a human being. So I did Sal George, who's an amazing Brazilian artist, and of course Jean-Michel Basquiat. And it kind of works that way. What I'm feeling, what I'm going through, a song, if I'm listening to Nina Simone or Billie Holiday or Annie Lennox or Sade, that all of that feeds into what's about to happen when I step up in the canvas. But the biggest portion of that pie is what the universe, God, the spirit, is feeding through me.
channeling through you. Now, like this piece here, I want my brain to see this. You do a lot of pieces dedicated to women.
Well,
the beauty of women, the strength of women, the character of women. I mean, you know, you focus a lot in the bust area, and I know that that is, you know, not only being sexual and erotic, but it's also being nurturing, and it's feeding Mother Earth.
But see, I don't see it as sexual or erotic. I see it as the feeding, as the earth.
Right.
I strongly, strongly believe, and I always believe, that the most powerful force in the universe is a woman.
Bravo. The most I'm glad you
powerful force. And I've been very blessed as a man, as a human, to not only be raised by personification of that force,
right,
but to be inundated with women who have changed and affected my life in profound ways. So women are a permeating theme in my work. And again, I like to kind of play with things that are not aesthetically pretty, but essentially beautiful.
Right.
And so the application tends to be harsh and ugly and raw and guttural. But in the process, you're creating something that is to me.
And I just love how it just leaps off the canvas. I mean, you've got so much character here. You've got so much definition in the eyes. You've got three characters of women. And what is the size of this? You use really large canvases. This
might be like 40 by 60. I don't know.
40 by 60.
Yeah, 48 by 60.
Are these for sale?
All of my work is... Most of my work is for sale.
Well, yeah, I know. And he's very philanthropic and very lovely. Also brings know that we have one of his pieces up for auction now on our website for a very worthy cause for feeding youth. He is very philanthropic. You know, Sage, tell him a little bit about the challenges that you had and why you were so close to the homeless and disenfranchised youth.
Because I was homeless and I wasn't disenfranchised youth. You know, I grew up in a place called Hempstead in Long Island. Big up to Hempstead. And, you know, I was kind of a square kid. I was in the top 10% of my class. I was a prom king. I was school president, class president. I was a track runner in this tennis sports and art class and editor of the yearbook. So I grew up really kind of square. I had two parents who had issues with substances and alcohol. So I had a very bourgeoisie kind of mentality.
Mm-hmm.
In my early 20s, I got hooked on crack. And as big of a curse as I was, it was also a profound blessing. Because within a year, it took me from hanging out with some of my closest friends in clubs and just, I had, you know, some of my Carla, and Kurt, Debbie, John, Henry, and the rest. And it took me from that life of beauty and dancing and festivities and all of that to sleeping on subway stations and picking up a garbage can of sensation and prostitution and all of this stuff. What that gave me, though, was a sense of clarity in that I was dirty, I was poor, I was homeless, I was a drug addict. And people looked at me in a certain way. And sometimes they would try to dehumanize me through their judgment of their eyes. And as the recipient of that, it taught me something about empathy. It taught me something about compassion. It taught me something about understanding another person's plight, be they homeless because of drugs or circumstance.
Right.
Because, you know, it should be told, Some people are a check away from being homeless.
Some people.
A lot of people.
A lot of people. Okay? We talking about these people with these $1,700 rents here in Los Angeles for a piece of a one bedroom. Okay? You let them get sick or something.
Exactly.
It's awful. But you have really poured your heart and your talents into your canvas, into your work. You are also a producer of short films. You are also a spoken word poet. You got the CD, Naked Up Under My Skin.
No, Naked Under My Clothes.
Naked Under My Clothes. Yeah. You see your skin. It's naked is naked, baby. It's good. So, that, and are you working on more music now?
Not music right now. You know, when my mom passed, I haven't really painted. I've done some of my photography work, but we're primarily right now, working on production stuff. We have a animated series called The Woo that we kind of created, which is a cartoon based on the Wu-Tang Clan's kids. So we're working on getting that through the channels it needs to go through. We're finishing our script for a feature film called Aurora, which I'm so excited about. Aurora is a story about these four women who are in a big, major band in the 60s and 70s, split up and hate each other. And we come to contemporary times where this young kid working his way through the music industry comes up with this idea of getting these women back together. And I'm excited about the script because it is, again, dealing with women and feminine, but from a perspective of age and experience and their own individual stories and lives. So we're finishing that up. We're working on finishing another series called Intern, which is a political drama, kind of like Scandal.
Okay.
Meets Empire.
Okay.
We're
going to have some good twists and turns when we find out what's going to happen in the next few weeks in our political climate, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a hot mess.
It is.
It's going to be a hot mess. So thank you so much for being on the edge with me. I love you from the bottom of my socks because my heart just isn't deep enough.
Yeah.
We love you, brains.
Take care, brains.
Hey, get on the website. I want you to purchase some of this art. It's amazing.
Are we cut?
Oh, 1 second, I'll cut to you, but go back to you and then I'll cut.
Take your brains.